Back now with a Colorado Matters holiday tradition, gift ideas from local booksellers. We've got two of them with us, and once again, they've picked books with a Colorado flavor. Now, we're going to change things up a little and talk later on about the book business. This year, more than most, we've noticed just how much bookstores are having to adapt to stay afloat. Well, let's welcome Ron Krall, who owns Off the Beaten Path in Steamboat Springs, and also Kathy Langer, head buyer at The Tattered Cover in Denver. Thanks for being with us.
It's great to be here.
Kathy, what's your favorite Colorado kids book for the holiday season? Because so many of these will probably make gifts.
One that I really love is called The 12 Days of Christmas in Colorado. It's written by Linda Ashman and illustrated by Don Beacon. And it is a takeoff on The 12 Days of Christmas, but the premise is this young girl, Sophie, is coming to visit her cousin, Zach, in Colorado. And each day that she's there, Zach gives her a gift, and it follows the pattern of the 12 Days of Christmas. But it's really wonderful because it covers the history and features of Colorado. So, for example, they're visiting Dinosaur National Monument. And the way this has run through is on the eighth day of Christmas, my cousin gave to me 8 dinos roaming, and then back to things they've done before, 7 bats napping, that's spelunking, 6 frozen giants, 5 golden nuggets, 4 grazing elk, 3 rail cars, 2 leaping sheep, and a bunting in a spruce tree.
The 12 Days of Christmas in Colorado, written by Linda Ashman, illustrated by Don Beacon, and Ron, from Off the Beaten Path and Steamboat, how about a children's recommendation?
So my recommendation for this holiday season is a really wonderful story called The Dragon of Cripple Creek by Troy Howell. And this is the story of a young girl, a 12-year-old girl, Kat. She's unusually inquisitive, prone to calamity, and a collector of big words. And she and her family have fallen on hard times, but they're on their way to California where her father has a new job. And she convinces them to stop in Cripple Creek to take a tour of the Molly Kathleen gold mine.
Cool.
And, of course, prone to calamity, you can imagine what happens next. She gets separated from the tour, falls deep into the mine, and meets a dragon. The story that ensues is about the relationship between Kat and this dragon and the rest of the world. It's really a story about Kat learning the difference between giving and bartering, about what trust really means, and about trusting her gut.
Now, you said she was a collector of big words. I wonder if you might give us an example or two of big words she runs into in Cripple Creek.
This is a very clever part of the writing that Troy Howell brings to this book. So she's a fan of exorbitant, and she learns the word sesquipedality from the dragon.
Sesquipedality?
Sesquipedality, which is the love of big, complex words.
Very nice. I think our public radio audience will appreciate that.
Yes.
The book is The Dragon of Cripple Creek. It's by Troy Howell. Let's move to some ideas for adults, books with Colorado ties. And Kathy, what did you bring for us?
I have a beautiful gift book called 100 Years Up High, Colorado Mountains and Mountaineers. And it is put together by the Colorado Mountain Club, actually, in celebration of their 100-year anniversary. So it talks about the Colorado Mountain Club, their mission, their early days, but it also has beautiful photographs of Colorado. It has a nice, comprehensive history of the early exploration of Colorado. It has a section that I really like a lot that's on the art of Colorado, not photography, but rather paintings, the artists who've captured the beauty of the mountains on canvas, starting in the 19th century into contemporary times, really, really a different aspect and look at the beauty of Colorado.
So this is marking the centenary of the Colorado Mountain Club, and the book is called...
It is called 100 Years Up High, Colorado Mountains and Mountaineers.
And we'll post a list of these recommendations to our website, by the way, cpr.org. Ron, how about an adult recommendation?
So this book is 10 Letters by Eli Saslow, originally from Colorado. And Eli is a reporter for the Washington Post. He tells us at the beginning of the book that President Obama gets a briefing book each night. And in that briefing book is something called the Purple Folder. And in the Purple Folder are 10 emails or letters that have been selected by his staff from the thousands he gets every day. Most nights, it's the first thing that he looks at in his briefing book.
And these are letters from just everyday citizens?
Everyday citizens all over the country of all kinds. So many of them are not very happy with the president, and many of them are telling him their stories. What Saslow does in the book is he selects 10 of these letters from the years 2010-11, and he goes out and interviews the writers and their families, and he really tells their story and their relationship with their president.
Mm. The book is 10 letters by a Colorado native, Eli Saslow. He's now with the Washington Post. In the introduction, we mentioned changes in your industry right now. E-readers like the Nook and the Kindle have exploded in the last couple of years, and the predictions are for more buying this season. How has that changed your business, even maybe the look of your stores?
The business has certainly changed over the course of the last few years with e-books and e-readers becoming so popular. And we do know that certain kinds of books are maybe more likely to be bought for an e-reader. And I will say that actually you can download books from our website and many independent bookstores' websites into your e-reader device, everything except the Kindle, which is only for Amazon. But on the other hand, people are still buying physical books. The publishers are really invested and feel strongly about keeping physical books in front of the public. And so they're being very supportive of independent bookstores. They don't want physical books to go away because you really reduce the marketplace and people's awareness of what is out if it's only on an e-reader.
That makes me think that someone comes into your store, sees it on your shelf, browses it, and then walks out and buys it on an e-reader.
They might do that, but they also do the opposite. I have a great example of a customer who came in the other day who bought two copies of a new novel. He said, I read this on my Kindle and I really want to give it as a gift, so I'm buying two copies for my friends. So it can go both ways.
Ron, how would you answer the question about how the rise of e-readers is changing life at your bookstore?
Well, there's no question that we are seeing a shift in reading habits. People are interested in and buying e-readers and they are reading e-books. And they're buying fewer physical books. We are getting a lot of questions this autumn in our bookstore about what kind of e-reader someone should buy, and how do people stay connected with off the beaten path if they're buying and reading e-books.
How do you answer that?
We're really focusing on what we've always done best, which is recommending good things to read, because the good news behind all of this is that people are still reading. And I think they're asking of us the same question they've always asked, which is give us a recommendation of something good to read. And then we're also trying to guide them to e-readers that provide the opportunity for them to buy e-books from us rather than the closed platform of the Kindle, which they can only buy from Amazon.
Kathy, the Tannard's now not just selling books, but printing some of its own. Tell us about this.
We have a new program. It's in its infancy. I will caution everyone that...
It sounds like you're working the kinks out.
Well, yes. It's called the Espresso Book Machine, and it's a machine that actually can produce a full paperback book in just a matter of a minute or two. And we can download, I'm going to say possibly a million titles off of the Google Cloud and produce these books almost instantaneously. So it may be something that's out of print. It may be something very historic. It may be something that actually is published by HarperCollins, who's made their paperback backlist available. And if we don't have it in the stores, bingo, we can cook it up for you at the Tattered Cover in Lodo.
Oh, I see. So you say, gosh, that title isn't in stock, and rather than waiting, say, a week, you can actually make the book there.
Exactly. And then down the road, we hope to have a program for local authors to produce their books through our Espresso book machine, so you can do your own publishing through the Tattered Cover.
Ron, is that an option for a smaller bookstore like yours?
Well, the answer is maybe. We have been looking at that possibility for the last year. It's very attractive to be able to print books that we don't have in our store and would otherwise have to order. And it's also, to Northwest Colorado, quite an interesting option for the writing community. And so the opportunity of creating a reading and writing community around publishing is one that we're kind of excited about, but uncertain about whether it will work in Steamboat.
Are there other options you're looking at in Steamboat?
There are. For the last year, we've been doing something we call a recycled book program, allowing our customers to actually bring back books that they've read and sell them back to us for credit for their next purchases. And this has been very popular with our local community. And it creates a kind of way for people to get even bigger return on their initial investment.
And I suppose it keeps people coming back to your store.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thanks to both of you for the book picks and a little of the industry insider stuff, too. Thank you both.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Ron Krall owns Off the Beaten Path Bookstore in Steamboat Springs. Kathy Langer is head buyer at the Tattered Cover Stores in Denver. And remember that we'll post their book picks to the web, cpr.org.